So guys, as it's the youth service today, I want to give some of you guys the opportunity to behave like the youth this morning. So I need two volunteers.
Okay.
Yep. We need one more volunteer. Okay. Great. Okay, so if you could all, could you tell us your names?
Okay.
Linda.
Okay, cool. So today's task, you're both going to have 15 seconds to complete a task, okay? So you can take your pick, okay? First come, first serve basis, okay? So who wants to drink a liter bottle of water? And who wants to do 50 star jumps?
I will.
Okay, so you'll do the star jumps and you'll drink the water. Yeah. Okay, guys, so I'm going to need you all to help me count, okay? Yes? So, when I say go, we'll start from 15. Does everyone remember how to count backwards from 15? Okay, great. Okay, so, are you ready?
Yes.
Go. 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, stop. Stop. Okay, so how many did you manage to do?
Maybe 20.
That's good. That's really good. That's quite good. Can we have a round of applause for 20? That's really good. Okay, and how much did you manage to drink? So not that much. Sorry. Okay, so how did you find the task?
Easy.
Mm-hmm. But did you complete the task?
Yes.
You did 50.
My 20 was 50.
No. And how did you find the task?
Well, considering I need to use a loo before I even started to drink.
I'm sorry.
That's why I only drank that.
Okay, so if you could change one thing about the task that would enable you to have finished the bottle of water and to do all 50 of the star jumps, what would you change?
I'd have done it quicker.
A bigger belly.
Okay, yeah, more time. Okay, good, yeah. Great. I'm glad that you said that. Because my word is going to be about time. And if they'd said something else, I would have been like, Okay, thank you very much. I've got presents. Thank you for being my volunteer. Can we have another round of applause for my... Okay, guys, so today I'm going to be talking about time and what time really means and how the world has defined time and how God defines time. So when I was praying and thinking about like what word to do, I was praying to God, and it seemed like the more I prayed, the less time I had. I felt like he was really giving, like really speaking to me through my life. So it was like, I'd be praying, I'd be like, God, what am I going to do? And then someone would call me and say, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. And I just felt like time was really getting away. So I'm going to start with the question, what is time? What do we know to be time? So if I could have the first definition up, please. Okay, so when time is used as a noun, it is defined as the indefinite continued progress of existence and events in the past, present, and future, regarded as a whole. And then it's also defined as a point of time as measured in hours and minutes past midnight or noon. So if we look at the Bible, let's see what the Bible says. So in regards to the first definition, when it's used as a noun, it says events in the past, present, and the future. But if we look at the Old Testament, the Bible doesn't actually use tenses. It has no word for the past, it has no word for the present, and it has no word for the future. If we look at time in regards to, it says the, could you go back one, sorry? It says a point of time is measured in hours and minutes The Bible also never makes reference to anything in terms of hours and minutes. So it doesn't say, and at 12:56, Jesus rose again, because that would be a bit weird. So if we look at the second definition of time, when time is used as a verb, it is described as a planned schedule or arrangement when something should happen or be done. Now, this I really don't like, because it says a planned schedule arrangement when something should be done. And that would imply that that definition of time is telling you the plan for your life, because it says when something should be done. And if we change the word should with must, which if you look in the thesaurus, should can also come up as must, it would then read a planned schedule arrangement when something must happen or be done, which is giving time the authority over your life to dictate to you when something should happen. Which is wrong. So, why is this relevant? Well, because we've let modern day society define to us what time is, but we need to know the truth about time, and we need to accept that these definitions of time is a lie. And in order for you to learn the truth about something, you must first know that it's a lie. So let's look at the Bible. So, I think there are three things that we really need to consider when we think about time. And that the first thing is what we do with our time. The second thing is the emphasis that we place on time. And the third thing is the excuse of time, so using time as an excuse. So if we look at the first question, what do we do with our time? Well, as we saw with our volunteers, often it can feel like we don't have enough time to do something. So someone can say to you, okay, you've got a deadline. By the end of the week, I want you to hand in this assignment. And it can literally feel like you're drinking a liter of water and you only have 15 seconds to do it. Like you feel so pressured and so rushed. But I don't feel as though God never intended us to feel that way. Even in terms of routines, we all have daily routines. We wake up. We get the kids ready, we have breakfast, we take them to school, we go to school ourselves if we're a student. We just really stick to these routines. And I feel as though sometimes we can let the routines that we're in dictate to us how we spend our time. So it's as though when we wake up in the morning, it's as though we know, okay, at 9 a.m. I need to be at work. From 9 to 5, I'm at work. When I'm at work, I have a lunch break at 12, 1, whatever the time it may be. But we need to make sure that we're not focusing on our to-do list, but rather we're focusing on what God wants us to do. So if we look in the Bible for an example of this, if we look at Mark 6, so I'm not going to read the whole thing because it is a bit long, but before we do that, can I just go back a little bit? In regards to our daily routines, we're so quick to just follow the routines. Every day just happens and we don't even realize we've done it. And it's only on special occasions that we realize that we need to do something different to our routine. So for example, if there's a birthday, instead of coming straight home from work and doing and feeding your kids, going to bed, whatever, we may think, oh, let's show this person that we love them. Let's buy them a gift. Or if it's an anniversary, like you and your husband are celebrating your wedding anniversary, you think, oh, let's go for dinner today, whereas you wouldn't usually think to go for dinner. But I don't think it has to be those allocated times that you show someone you love them, or that you think, let's go out for dinner and let's do this. So now if we turn to Mark 6, in this part of the Bible, this is when Jesus has his 12 disciples and he sends them off two by two and he says, go, I'm giving you authority over demons. Go and pray for people, go and heal the sick, and go and preach my word. And so that's what the disciples do. They go out and they spend the whole day working. And then when we get to verse 30, if I could have that on the board, please. When we get to verse 30, he asks them, what have you done with your day? So it goes, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest. So in regards to that, if we go back to 30, the first thing they did was he asked them, what have you done? And they said, they gave him I can imagine it was a very detailed explanation of we saw this person and then we did this and then we did that. And then verse 31, it says that they... So because so many people were coming and going, they did not have a chance to eat or to rest. In that instance, I don't think the problem here was the fact that they didn't have time. Because even though it says they didn't have a chance to eat, it says people were coming and going, which meant they did have the opportunity to eat if they wanted to. As people came to them, they could have said, oh, wait, we're on our lunch break. Could you come back in 5 minutes? But obviously they didn't do that. And I feel as though this shows how committed they were to serving Jesus and to Philip to carrying out what he asked them to do. Because instead of them being like, oh, well, mate, I'm tired or I'm hungry, they decided that the instructions that they had been given by him was more important than how they were feeling. So they put the purpose that he had for them at that time over their own personal emotions and feelings. So then the next part of the story then goes on to them. It then goes on to, by the end of this chapter, they fed 5,000 people. So the next part of the story, Jesus then says to them, after telling them to rest, he then says to them, okay, there are all these people around us, I want you to feed them. And they sort of reply how I would respond, and they were kind of like, what? Like, how? Why? When? Like, that sort of response. So if we turn to 36... Yeah, so at this point, all these people had gathered and the disciples were telling Jesus to send them away so that they can go to the countryside and the villages to find themselves something to eat. And in 37, it says, but he answered, you give them something to eat, they said to him. That would take eight months of a man's wages. Are we going to spend that much time on bread and give it to them to eat? 38, how many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they had five and two fish. So in that, they responded how any of us most likely would have responded. And in that instance, they were focusing on the matter of time. And they were thinking, it's going to take 6 months' wages, or 8 months' wages, to do that. Rather than whereas Jesus was thinking in a different line, he was thinking that I am the resource. And rather than you thinking about how much time it would have taken to feed these people, he was thinking about his father upstairs, and he knew the plans that he had. So right before that happened, Jesus could have asked them. He could have said, okay, I understand you're tired, but what I want you to do is get out into your boats and go and fish, because we're going to have 5,000 people to feed. But instead, he knew that that wasn't going to be necessary, because he was focusing on using God as a resource rather than time as a resource. So in this instance, this is just such a prime example of how the disciples were thinking within limits. And in the time that they were thinking within limits, they were limiting God. And if you think about God within limits, it limits anything that you can do. So if we look at that definition, back when I think time was used as a noun. Sorry. Verb. if we change that word should to could, which is the way that Jesus was thinking at the time, it says a planned schedule arrangement of something that could happen or be done. And that's if you think in the way that God thinks. But we can compare that to the example of if you think in the way that humans have been trained to think, which is should happen. So, yeah. Okay. And finally, to sum that up as well, in that instant, it wasn't about what the disciples had done. It was rather about who they were believing in and who they were trusting in. So, which is why I think it's very important that you have alone time with God, because even in that time when Jesus said to them, come and rest with me, in order for you to trust someone, if a stranger came up to you and said, come with me, let's go feed 5,000 people, I'd be like, what kind of 419? No, I'm not using my own money to feed all these people. Do you get what I mean? Like, you need to spend time with someone in order for you to build a relationship where you can trust them, where if they're saying go, you'll go and you won't even question it. So I think that really shows why it was important for them to have that alone time with Jesus right before that happened. So the next thing I'm going to talk about is, so we've just had what we do with our time. And the next thing is the emphasis that we place on time, especially in regards to our hopes and dreams. So how many of you have hopes in this place? Yes. How many of you have dreams? Yes. How many of you in 2016 have a list of things that you want to achieve? Thank you. Sorry. Okay, great. So has everyone made their New Year's resolutions? Lots. Ooh, okay. That's me every year. I have a long list. And on January the 1st, I'm like, yes, I'm so pumped. We've got a list of resolutions. This year is going to be my year. It's going to be the year I change. And then by January the 2nd, I've forgotten all about them. So, yeah. So in terms of that, more often than not, when we plan something or when we think about something that we want to achieve, we put a time limit on it. And it's like, why do you think we put a time limit on it? Like, we're just drawn naturally to put a time limit on it. So if we say, for example, my car's just broken down.
Sorry.
So sad. And I'm really believing in God and my parents for a new car. So when it first happened, I was like, okay, so new car, yeah, I'll leave my insurance out. I'm going to get a new car by next month, just move the insurance over. But then my parents are kind of like, oh, let's wait, let's plan it out properly, which is probably the better response rather than me saying, now, I want it now, kind of thing. And just because my parents are saying, not right now, it doesn't mean it won't ever happen. I know I'm going to drive a new car in Jesus' name. So, if we look at 2 Peter 3:8, please. So it says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So, if we apply that to the car story. So I was thinking, okay, by the end of the month. What's a month? There are 30 days in a month, right? So if we times 30, by God's view of time, by 1,000 years, I'm not getting my car till when? So that is just a prime example of how we need to understand that our understanding of time is not the same as God's understanding of time. So as humans, we are so limited in our thinking because we've got the idea that one day is 24 hours. That's what we've been told and that's what it is. We can't imagine a day to be 2 hours and we can't imagine a day to be 50 hours because that's not how it is. Whereas the Bible tells us that the Lord sees a day as 1,000 years. And I haven't lived 1,000 years, so I don't know what it feels like to wait 1,000 years, and I probably never will. But that just shows how I'm so limited in my understanding, whereas God is so diverse in his. So what we need to do, knowing this information, we need to measure ourselves up to God's standards and not bring God down to our standards. Especially when we're waiting for things and desires. So if it comes to, like, let's just say getting a new car or starting a new business or getting married or having children, it doesn't make sense for us to be like, by a week I'm going to have a new car, or by a month. Because just like it says right here, if God is seeing that one day as 1,000 years or as 2 weeks or whatever, you're not working on the same timescale. So in that sense, if we're not working on the same timescale, all it's going to lead us to do is to get disappointed. I'm going to be like when my parents told me no, I was sad. But then obviously when you take the time to understand and to really think about it, there's a reason why my parents said no. So there's a reason, there's always a reason behind why God is making you wait for something. So like Pastor Joe says, it's the process that produces the person that can possess the promise, which is very, very true. And that is true because God never makes us wait for the sake of waiting. There's often reasons why he will make us wait. Amen. So he may make us wait so that he can do his work. Or he may make us wait so that we can learn things that need to prepare us for when we arrive to the place that we want to get to. So it wasn't until this morning in praise and worship when they were just singing along. And the song that came to mind was We Wait For You, that song. And it says, release the fullness of your spirit. And it says that God can only do that when we wait. So if we're too fixated on this time scale, if we're too fixated on getting married by 25 or getting a new car by the end of the month or starting a new job by the end of the year, then we're going to miss everything that's around us. We're going to miss the journey that God is trying to take us on so that we can possess the promise. And I think it's important to remind ourselves that if something is supposed to happen, it will happen. Simple as. And how do I know this? I know this because it says so in the Bible. So, if we turn to Ecclesiastes 3:1 in the New King James Version, please. Yep. So it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Yeah, and then it goes on to say a time to born, yeah. But I want us to focus on the fact that it says a time for every purpose under heaven. Now, if we look at that word purpose, it means that if something is supposed to happen, it will. And we know that because purpose means that it's part of God's plan. Mm-hmm. Nothing happens by accident. So if something is supposed to happen, it will happen under heaven. With the same, like when it's intended to happen, if that makes sense. Does everyone follow?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Okay, cool. So yeah, so now we've had what we do with our time, the emphasis we place on time, and we're going to move on to the excuse of time. So this one is something I'm sure we all do without even realizing it. So if someone says to you, you were talking to your friend and you're like, yeah, today I'm going to go for a run. Like, I'm so excited for this run, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. And you say, have a good day to each other. And your day goes by and it gets to the end of the day and the person says, oh, so how was your run today? I didn't have time to go for a run. We use that so much. I didn't have time to do this. I didn't have time to do that. Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, I didn't get around to it. They're all excuses of time. And to be honest, we live in a society that should have more time than anyone else on this earth. Because if we look at in Bible references, when the Bible was written, they didn't have cars, they didn't have phones, they didn't have aeroplanes, whatever. All they had was donkeys, their mouths, like villages that they had to go to deliver a word. So in terms of things like sharing God's gospel, we should spend majority of our time glorifying and serving God. And when people say they don't have time to do that, I kind of get a bit confused. And I'm guilty of doing this myself, because I often say sometimes, are you going to, I don't know, church or something? Being at uni, I don't have time to commute all this way to come to church, for example. But in terms of that, that shouldn't be an excuse, because if we think about something like sharing God's word, back in the day, they would have had to get on a donkey, ride to the next village, stand in the stall, some kind of shack, and just shout out everything they'd witnessed about God. But now it's as easy as we can literally switch on our phones, log on to Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and share a verse. Or we can tell our friends, oh, did you hear what God's done, blah, 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 this and that. We can share our testimonies. It's so easy, and it's never been like that before. So we don't have any excuse not to serve God or to worship him. So what have we learned today? Well, we've learned that we should be careful of what we spend our time doing. We've learned that we shouldn't place such an emphasis on time because that can limit God and that can limit us and that can limit our view of what we can achieve. And we've also learned that we shouldn't use time as an excuse because there is no excuse. So in summary, we need to understand that time can be accumulated like money. It cannot be stockpiled like raw materials. We are forced to spend it at a constant rate of 60 seconds per minute, but we have a choice on how we spend it. We cannot turn time on, and we cannot turn time off. It cannot be replaced, and that means that it is irreversible. So this view can destroy our ability to enjoy God, to enjoy God's people, and to enjoy the life that he's given us. We all want the promises that are in the Bible, but the question is, are we willing to invest the time to live out what God has called us to do? Are we willing to rely on God as our resource rather than to rely on time as our resource? Are we willing to go when God says go and to stop when God says stop? Now, in regards to the new year, like 2015 is already gone. There's nothing we can do about it. We can't change it. All we can do is look back on it and reflect and think, if I'm faced with this situation again, this is what I'm going to do differently. If I'm not faced with this situation again, this is what I'm going to be thankful for. So as we go into 2016, I urge you to stop, look and listen. As we cross over, we're going to cross over into 2016 like we're crossing the road. We're going to stop, look and listen. That means we have to stop focusing on time and stop putting time at the forefront of our mind. Stop being in a hurry to achieve something that you're meant to achieve at the right time. We need to look to God to answer all our questions about time, to answer when we'll get something. We need to look to him and rely on him as the resource rather than relying on time or even ourselves. And we need to listen to the feedback that he gives us. When God speaks, you need to listen to what he's telling you, because all he wants to do is help you to get to where you need to get to. So, yeah. Thank you.